TV.
You know, what I've been describing is a large group of people. And it's a unique group of people, these kingdom overcomer, spiritualizing people. They have an air of legitimacy lent to them because they believe in the salvation of all. So who can deny that that is a great truth? But as we've been discussing, the salvation of all itself is not the gospel. I mean, this was the deal with L. Ray Smith. L. Ray Smith was fabulous. Remember, L. Ray Smith was a personal friend of mine. He stayed at my house in Greenwich, Ohio, because I invited him to speak at one of the conferences I sponsored in Willard, Ohio. He would send me M&M's all the time. He and I would talk on the phone for hours. He would send me M&M's because he heard on one of my early Zender Talk shows that I liked M&M's, and he was very loving, very sweet guy. He lived in North Miami. He would send me a lot of M&M's just because he was a great guy. I would edit his articles. He would send me these long articles, which you can see online. One of them, he's refuting Pastor Kennedy. Who's the crazy mainstream preacher? Oh, yeah, that's a redundancy. Sorry. If it's a mainstream right, okay. He wrote this giant article, and L. Ray Smith had this habit of using exclamation points. I mean, like, he would literally put 10 or 12 exclamation points after some of his points. And he sent me these long articles to edit, and I would always say, Ray, you got to get rid of the exclamation points. He goes, I can't. I love them. I want to make a point. I said, but you have to make a point with the words, not with the punctuation. So he and I would go back and forth. He says, okay, look, I'll take away 5 exclamation points here, but you have to give me 2 over here. I said, okay, I'll give you 2 over here if you take away the 3 over there and you get rid of the 2 on page 16 completely. All right, well, I'll give you that. It was so funny. We'd be back and forth about this all the time. If it was up to me, all the exclamation points would be removed. But anyway, L. Ray was great on the sovereignty of God. He hated human free will. He was great on the salvation of all. But as far as distinguishing the two gospels, he did not see it. He thought of the snatching away just as Mike Hoover here thinks about that it was fantasy, that it was just a carnalization of wanting to leave this world, which, I'm sorry, anybody who doesn't want to leave this world loves the eon. And he definitely spiritualized the word. He didn't believe that Israel, that literal Israel, existed anymore. He thought God was done with Israel, L. Ray Smith did. I'm not here to run him down. I love the guy. He died of cancer several years ago. But I'm just saying that there's a large group of people that have come through L. Ray Smith. And they've come through Jerry Boschman, who wrote Hope Beyond Hell. Great book that introduced a lot of people to the salvation of all. The interesting thing is a lot of people who have come through those particular camps end up here. I've experienced this. I mean, it's unmistakable. I've seen it over a period of 33 years. They end up here. I mean, this is one of the rare places where you will find the main 5 elements of truth. I consider there to be 5, possibly 6 main elements of truth. One, that God is working through a series of eons. Unless you understand the eons, you're not much use as a teacher in the Word of God. And of course, you have to understand God's plan to become all in all, which is the purpose of the eons. A teacher must understand that there are 2 gospels, or else, again, you're of no use because you're not correctly cutting the word of truth, and you can only produce an anathema gospel, which is a mixture. And unfortunately, L. Ray fell into this category. If you don't distinguish the letters of Paul from the letters to Israel, you will produce what Paul describes in Galatians chapter 1 as an anathema gospel, a mixed gospel, where you take elements of the circumcision gospel and elements of the uncircumcision gospel, elements of law, mix them with elements of grace. And also, on top of that, you won't be able to distinguish why there are 144,000 plus going through the tribulation and how you could believe at the same time that there is another body of people that will not go through the tribulation at all, but rather will be snatched away to meet the Lord in the air and not come back to earth, because we know that their realm is inherent among the celestials and Christ seats them among the celestials. So without that, that's number three, the two gospels. Number four is understanding what death is. And Ray understood that, I think, I'm pretty sure. The literal meaning of death, that it is non-existence, that the dead do not know anything. And of course, these aren't in the particular order, because number five probably should be number one. And it is understanding the sovereignty of God, that God is operating every single detail of life according to his own will. And you almost can't get there because of so many other scriptures that talk about people doing things, exhorting people to do things, showing people doing things without a knowledge of the absolute versus the relative perspective. I'm not saying that that is essential truth, but I think it's essential knowledge in order to get to the truth of the salvation of all and be able to explain certain verses in light of other verses. For instance, all is of God, and this man is not of God. Remember, we talked about the presence of the verb to be or the absence of the verb to be in the Greek text and how important it is to recognize that. So the sovereignty of God, no human free will, the true meaning of death, that it is not life, it's the opposite of life. The dead do not live until the 1,000 years are finished. And these two elements are crucial to understanding Paul's gospel. Number three, I'm going in a different order now, but the gospel of Paul, distinguished from the gospel to Israel. Crucial, critical. Number four, the salvation of all, where God is leading. And number five, that God is working through a series of eons. You must understand the principle that the concept of eternity is not spoken of in scriptures, that this word eon and its verb form and its adjective form aeonian is mentioned, recorded, inspired over 175 times in the Greek scriptures. And this is not a boast in myself, it's a boast in God, but this is one of the few places that you will find all five of these truths. It's so strange. I've been to websites where they are so good on Paul, like their expertise is distinguishing Paul's gospel. And yet at the same time, they teach eternal torment. It blows my mind how anybody can see the truth of Paul's distinct message and still believe in eternal torment. And yet there they are. And then you have this large group of people, the kingdom people, the overcomers who understand the salvation of all, but they don't distinguish Paul. And so they can't rightly teach because they will mix things of the flesh with things of the spirit. And I'm talking about legitimate things of the flesh. Overcoming, that's a thing of the flesh. It is inspired by the spirit, but it's still consistent with the Israelite gospel, which is a cooperative gospel. It is a combination of works and grace. So to those, and I just got a text yesterday. No, it wasn't a text. It was in the comment section. A wonderful woman. I don't remember hearing from her before, but she shared her spiritual history with us in the comments yesterday. And it was a wild ride for her. I mean, I think she went through this kingdom stuff. She went through L. Ray Smith. Of course, started out in organized religion, been through fighting demons and all these seemingly Pentecostal type manifestations, and then she says, I don't know how I finally ended up here. And I thought, I've seen this pattern. It's not that this site is the be all end all, but it is a rare place. It is, because of these essential truths. Did I mention the true meaning of death before? Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's essential to understand Paul's gospel. So, there you have it. I am glad you're here. I'm Martin Zender. Welcome to MZTV. And for all the entertainment, and for all the fun little backgrounds I put here, and for all the humor I inadvertently inject in this show, it is serious as can be. This is a resting place for tired people who have been through the mill. And this poor guy, what's his name? The guy I've been commenting on, Mike Hoover. He's still going through the mill. He still doesn't know that the Apostle Paul has a separate evangel. And so he's dismissing the snatching way because, again, he doesn't see where it fits. If you've been through the mill, and I know you have, it is a miracle that you're here. I told this woman, I said, better late than never. I said, that doesn't sound very spiritual, but it's true. Better late than never. I've had 80-year-olds say to me, Martin, why haven't I seen these things before? I said, because now is the perfect time. And I want all of you to remind yourselves of that. I know all of you know this because you're the smartest audience on YouTube, but I want you to remind yourself of this today. Everything you have been through was perfect. The timing of God is perfect. If you're 96 years old and you've been through every religious denomination and somehow in your video feed this came up on YouTube, this show, my show, and you started watching and you kind of like most people, their first reaction is like shock. Then they get pissed off. Then they, you know, throw stones and they get mad and they try to disprove certain things. Then they accept it. It's almost like Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, the stages of grief, except it's the stages of revelation. First shock, then anger, then rebellion, protesting, then holy shit, this dumbass, smartass is right. Why does Zender have to be right? It really pisses some people off. Am I right about everything? No. But we have the basic elements of revelation. And we protect it. We protect what we have. It's so valuable. Look, I know everybody's struggling for money. Everybody's struggling to get affirmed in this life. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We have a wealth that is awaiting us in the next life that would make Solomon weep, would make Solomon look like a pauper. What we have waiting for us, the treasures of God, we wouldn't be able to believe it if God told us. And I think this is why the Apostle Paul was stunned into silence, unable to speak of what he saw when he went to the third heaven, because I'm sure he got a glimpse of the treasure awaiting him. And then he had to come back to this valley of the shadow of death, had to come back to this pit of despondency, frustration, and he had to be ridiculed all over again. But he held that reality in his heart and in his mind and in his spirit. His steps on this earth were so light. His steps, his gait, his disposition became so light after what he had seen, after he had seen the treasure that was stored up for him, that God had to give him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him, just to keep the guy grounded. So if you're feeling like you're at the short end of every stick and you're at the end of the proverbial rope. It's only going to last a little time longer. And if you feel physically that you can't go on much longer, you're not going to have to. Listen, I've told many of you that I am a weary soldier. I've been buffeted in my own ways for 33 years to bring these truths to you and to protect them, which is one of the hardest things. That's where exposure and rebuke come in. And I'm really, really tired. Not just physically, but emotionally. I'm running thin. I'm running on fumes, as they say. But the fumes I'm running on are the fumes of the Spirit of God. We do not have the fullness of the Spirit as we will at the snatching away, but what little Spirit we do have is the real thing. And don't you think that God could give you a full tank of Spirit that will cause you, like the Apostle Paul, to nearly float off foot off the ground as you go through your life. But no. God gives to each the measure of faith, Romans 12:3, and to each the measure of Spirit. And he purposely withholds the mother load. Same with your treasure. The mother load he withholds. Don't you think that the God who owns everything, every richness, riches that we can't even describe and wouldn't believe if we were to hear of them or see them. Don't you think that that God who is your Father and who is calling you to be in the body of Christ, don't you think that he could make you the wealthiest person, the wisest person, the most noble, loved person? Oh my God, the treasure that's in store for us. And yet, what does he do? He dribbles it to think a little bit, think a little bit, think a little bit. Just enough to keep you going. And listen, back in the day and at present, I have said to God, look, maybe I shouldn't share this, but I've said to him, look, you can only push people so far. What do you think we're made of down here? Look, you're dealing with flesh and blood, mortal flesh and blood at that. How much do you think you can push us? How far do you think we can go before you destroy us? I said, destroy me, destroy me. How far do you think you can push me, God? It's like, to me, God was not paying attention. Certain times in my life, it seemed like God had set the pot to boil and walked away, and he wasn't paying attention to my trials. He didn't know what was going on. And I said, what are you giving me here? You're giving me just enough spirit, I guess, that I won't kill myself. And he said, right. I said, good enough then, good enough. If that's all the spirit I need to get through this, then okay, I'll take it and I'll thank God for it. And I learned to do that. I learned to thank God for the amount of spirit that I have. So it's just a little while longer for those of you suffering physically, for those of you who wake up at night in the dark, feel alone or feel the pain of disease, illness, and you listen for some word from God and you hear the same thing Christ heard when he prayed, absolutely nothing. Then you realize that this is on purpose. God is as near to us as our breath. And he's doing this on purpose because blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe, who have not heard anything and yet believe. That is a token that you will be able to trade in for treasures more valuable than all the treasures on this old, decrepit, drunken earth. Faith, man. Faith. Whatever you have, it's a gift. And I want you to know, to reiterate the point, it is no accident that you have what you think is so little. It's not an accident. Or that you have so little money, or again, so little confidence, so little courage, so little notoriety, so little love. None of that is an accident, because your father has the storehouses of all those things at his ready disposal, and at any moment he could pull the bottom out of it and drench you with every one of these things: notoriety, riches, love, confidence, courage. But in the meantime, what has God given us besides the little amount of spirit that he decides we should have that causes us to understand the truth? We have enough spirit that causes us to understand the truths of Paul's gospel and to distinguish it. But he has given us a spirit of power, love, and sanity, a sound mind. You are not losing your mind. I know many of you think you are. Sometimes I think I'm losing mine. But you're not. You're just struggling during an unprecedented time in Aeonian history. The end of Aeon 3. You have not lost your mind. You are not losing your mind, because God has given us a spirit of power, of love, and of sanity. Power? I know. What power, Martin? What power? The power to stand up, the power to breathe, the power to still believe. And the power to still believe is more power than the power required to launch a rocket into space or to send a 747 down the runway. More power, more power. Whatever little faith you have, that's more power than atomic fusion. But it's quiet power. It's quiet. It doesn't explode. There's dynamite, and then there's dynamo. It's from the same Greek root, dyna, which is power. Dyna, power. But dynamite causes explosions. This is what the Pentecostal types are looking for. They're looking for explosions. They're looking for energy. They're looking for manifestations. But then there's a dynamo. What's a dynamo? Continuous power. Continuous. It just keeps running. It's quiet. It's quiet. Nuclear power is very quiet. Doesn't explode, doesn't flame, doesn't smoke, doesn't scare anybody, doesn't thrill anybody either. Doesn't impress anybody, but it just keeps you going. It just keeps you going. You know what my son said to me the other day, and I'll end with this. I had no intention of saying any of what I'm saying now. I had notes for this show that was thrown by the wayside. Thrown by the wayside. But this is good. Gabe said to me in a voice text, my oldest son Gabe, the believer, said, they are going to talk around the campfires of Aeon 5 about those elders who went through Aeon 3. There are going to be generations of people born during Aeon 5, the new heavens and the new earth, who will have never tasted mortality. And they will look back upon Aeon 3 like we look back upon the Dark Ages. Or for most of us, like World War II. And we talk to veterans of wars and we say, what was it like to go through that? Survivors of the Holocaust, what was it like? We'll multiply that by thousands, because we will be in the future the survivors of Eon 3. And when we appear on the new earth, we will regale listeners with tales of Eon 3. And they will speak of us in tones of awe. You were on the earth in Eon 3 at the end of Eon 3? And you still had faith. You still believed. And you accomplished what? Don't minimize what we're doing here. We're sharing the evangel. We are holding fast to Paul's gospel. 2,000 years later, 2,000 years after Christ has appeared on the earth, we have seen nothing, we have heard nothing, and we are suffering at the end of an eon where our own apostle says, in the end times, perilous periods will be present. That whole list of abominations. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we are living during horrendous times, and yet God keeps us with the dynamo of faith. And even while we're dying, we're sharing the evangel. We're alive. We have a spark. You have to have some kind of spark to share the evangel. I have to have some kind of spark, and I do, to do this show every day. Day after day after day after day, week after month after year after decade. There's a spark, and it's amazing. And they're going to say in Eon 5, you did what? You accomplished what? Where? When? My God. And we're all doing it in our own way, and it is no small miracle. It seems small to us. It seems like nothing. But we will be the legends of Eon 5. The legends, because we will have come through the veil. We will have come through the veil from mortality to immortality. None of the spiritual beings, not the 24 elders, not any of the magistrates above, the sovereignties, the powers of the air, both good and bad, none of them have tasted mortality. They haven't gone through the veil. But the spiritual principle is those who go the lowest get raised the highest. The ultimate example, that is Christ, went to the lowest parts of the earth, suffered the most, lost the most, had the most, lost the most, gave the most, suffered the most. And because of that, he is elevated above every name, above every being, seated at the right hand of God. All glory, all honor, all praise is his. And we are his sons, and we are going to be right there with him. And we are walking through the same valley of tears that he walked. The degree of suffering isn't the same, but the kind of suffering is the same. The shame, the humiliation, the discouragement, the fatigue, the I think I'm going crazy. It's the same. The silence from heaven when you pray, the same. It's the same. It's the same kind of suffering. Not the degree, but the kind. And because of that, we also will be elevated above angels. This is why we will judge angels. Because we will have come through the most harrowing part of the Aeonian times. And we will make that transfer. We will make that trip beyond the veil to be glorified. Those he designates beforehand, these he calls, whom he calls, these he justifies, whom he justifies, these he glorifies also. And that is going to be our lot very soon.